know of no better place to be tonight than where we are. And that is the house of the Lord, a place that's designed to worship and honor and praise the Lord, give Him thanksgiving, and to learn and to grow from the truth of His Word. And I just pray tonight He'll bless us. I believe He already has in our song service and the sweet prayer that's been offered. Very thankful to God for that. And ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans in chapter 8. Right beginning in the very first verse of Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It's hard to find a stopping place when you get in Romans chapter 8. As far as how far we're going to read. So I'm just going to read a little bit, and when I can stop, I will, and if I can't, I'll continue. But anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful message of comfort to God's children that is found in Romans chapter 8. Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And for God's little children who are greatly troubled in this world and feel the great guilt and weight of sin that presses down upon them, this is wonderful, wonderful language. And if the Lord will bless us tonight to look at it and really feed on it, it'll be a help to us. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, says this: There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the deeds of the Spirit, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And though I don't want to, we'll stop there. This language that's laid down by the Apostle Paul here is a great comfort to God's little children when it's rightly divided and we understand what it is teaching. In order for that to take place, we need the Spirit of Almighty God to enlighten us. And for me to be able to preach, the Lord has to bless us with liberty to do so and give me a tongue of utterance to be able to preach, and you an ear to hear it, and a heart to understand it, eyes to see it. The Apostle Paul here says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And there's a therefore in that statement, which tells us we want to look back into chapter 7 and see really what the therefore is there for, why it's there. Chapter 7 expresses so clearly the great warfare that goes on in the heart of a little child of God between the flesh and the Spirit. The outer man warring against the inner man. The inner man leading us in the pathway of righteousness and truth. And the outer man that would have us go another direction. And to have us think like the world and according to the course of the world. You see in the Apostle Paul a great warfare going on and a great burden that he's carrying. It's a wonderful thing for a brother to be carrying a burden, though at the time that burden is not something you would call wonderful. It's a great blessing to see one who's burdened about the things of God. You see, the man of the world, the woman of the world that is dead in sins, that does either not belong to the Lord or either one of God's little children that is yet to be regenerated, in their ideas and thoughts, they're not troubled at all like God's little children are troubled. God's little children, when they've been awakened by the grace of Almighty God, have been given an understanding that the man of the world, the woman of the world, will not and does not have. The man of the world and the woman of the world feel okay. There's not anything wrong with me. And if you tell them there's something wrong with them, if you tell them they've sinned, if you tell them what the Bible teaches, that all is sin and come short of the glory of God, their ideas and thoughts is, well, if there is a God, which I'm not sure there is, but if there is a God, then he can't be that much greater than I am. And I'm okay, and you're okay, and we're okay, and certainly we're not deserving of any of the judgment of God that the Bible so clearly tells us that we are guilty of. You see, when Adam sinned and transgressed God's law that it was given to him in the garden, the Lord said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Lord meant exactly what he said. And the wage of sin, which is death, fell upon Adam, fell upon Eve, and fell upon us all. All of us who have sinned and come short of the glory of God are deserving of the very condemnation of the wage of sin, which is death. The law of sin and death, it would be a reality for us if there isn't something done for us. And the Apostle Paul recognized that all of my efforts to try to straighten up myself, to try to fix myself, to try to do what the law tells me to do, even to keep the law, that when I would do good, I find evil present with me. I find I have a desire after the in the inward man after the laws of God. I delight in the laws of God after the inward man, but I have another law that's warring in my members, bringing me into captivity. As he says that in verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now he's saying, when I go to the law to try to find my righteousness, I don't get better, I just get worse. And if you've tried to do that, some of you I know from your experience have tried to go to a work system to find your peace, try to go to a law, try to do what somebody's told you to do in order to find peace with God and to find fellowship with God and find acceptance with God. And the ideas and the thoughts of the world is sometimes even surrounding the Bible, they would say that it teaches, it doesn't teach this, but they would say that it teaches that the Lord has done everything that he can, that Jesus loved everybody and he came to save everybody and has done everything that he can to save everybody. And it's up to you now to do what he's commanded you to do. And if you don't do that, everything he's done for you is not going to avail any good whatsoever. And you will be ultimately cast away from him because you didn't do your part. He did his part, but you didn't do your part. I'm telling you, that man, that woman who's under that, is still saying with the Apostle Paul right here, "O wretched man that I am, without any hope of any redemption." Now listen, that hope of redemption is not in me getting it right. My hope of redemption is not in keeping the law. If I turn to the law, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law was given by God. There's no fault in the law. But the law was weak through the flesh, which means because of my flesh, I cannot keep the law. I talked about this a little bit this morning, still on my mind tonight. This morning I was thinking about the Ten Commandments and what the Ten Commandments tell me. And when I read the Ten Commandments, I'll tell you what I get from them. When I read the first one, I get I'm guilty. When I read the second one, I get I'm guilty. When I read the third one, I get I'm guilty. When I read the fourth one, I get I'm guilty. And I get that over and over again. And if there's one that I might look at and think for a moment I'm not guilty of, I remember what James says, that if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of it all. That if we come short in one iota, in one degree, we're guilty of it all. And so what does Paul conclude from that? That righteousness cannot come by the law. That is the law that God gave. And I'll tell you what else. Righteousness certainly can't come by a false doctrine that man is preaching, because the idea and thought that Jesus tried to save everybody is not taught in the Scripture. And though the world would hear that and say, oh, I don't know whether I like that or not, it isn't about what I like or what I don't like. It's about what the Bible teaches. And we should like what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible teaches, that Jesus came to save His people from their sins, and we believe that He did just that. That everything was necessary to be done for their salvation has been done and accomplished. Brother Terry prayed that in his prayer. We prayed right along with him and said an amen at the end. Thank the Lord that the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't up for our obedience to it or our disobedience to it to make it effective for us. But rather it is a finished work that was done and completed and accomplished. And because of that, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And I want you to know, when you preach Christ, when you preach what He's done, that's good news to God's little children. When you tell men what they have to do to add to the work of God, that's not good news, that's bad news. It's not even the truth. Because you cannot add to the work of God. It doesn't need to be added to. And if it was left up to us to add to it, I'll tell you, we'd all be in a mess. There would be none saved. There wouldn't be anyone delivered. The salvation that was given and done at Calvary would be ineffective for all. Because there is none that will seek after God. There is none that will call upon Him. It takes Him to reach down to us. If we had to reach up to Him first, we were dead. The dead man can't do anything. It takes the Lord to give us life. And the Apostle Paul says that. He says this. He said, when I look to myself and I look to that which I do, he says, I know that in me, in verse 18, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now that tells man what he can do right there. He can't do one good thing. I can't believe, I can't accept, I can't repent, I can't walk down the aisle, I can't shake the preacher's hand, I can't go into the waters of baptism, I can't have anything, I cannot do anything without the Lord first working in me, and then when He works in me, I am to work out that which He has worked in me. But listen, once He has performed a good work in you, what does the Bible say? He that has performed a good work in you will continue that work. In perfection, He will bring forth. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's good news. And what He says here to that little child of grace who's troubled. Listen, there is no condemnation, but in your heart and in your mind and in your conscience, you feel a condemnation when God lets you know what kind of sinner you are. You know, there may have been a time, you can look back in your life, I can look back in mine, there may have been a time where you felt like you were a pretty good little boy or little girl, or maybe an older boy or older girl. I remember a time when Daddy and Mama would whip me. I think they were sure treating this good boy in a way they shouldn't treat me. I know a whole lot of boys that need whipping, but it wasn't me. I know a whole lot of boys that need correction. If they just knew what kind of boy so-and-so was, they'd be glad they got me as their son. They'd be glad they have such a good little boy. And I didn't feel any weight of sin. And then there came a time where I was made, as the Apostle Paul says, I was alive without the law once. In verse 9 of Romans 7, he says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What does that mean? That means at one time I felt like I was in pretty good shape. But then when the Lord awakened me to the state I was truly in. Do you remember when you first could see what a mess you were really in? And that's why the doctrine of salvation by the works of man and the will of man doesn't fit your case. Because you know that if salvation comes that way, I'm too much of a mess to get it. If I had to do something to get it, I'd mess up. If I had to believe enough to get it, I wouldn't believe enough. Just as we sang tonight, and as the Bible teaches, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I want to believe more, but I don't want to be trusting in my belief as far as my salvation is concerned. I need to know that there's now, therefore now, no condemnation, and how that's possible, and that's possible, and it's not only possible, but sure to every little heir promise that is in Christ Jesus. That means if you belong to Him, you've always belonged to Him. He's loved you in covenant before the foundation of the world. Let's get this very clear. When Jesus died on the cross, He had His people in mind. As a matter of fact, His people were in Him. They had been chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. When He went to the cross, they were in Him when He went to the cross. When He went to the grave, they were in Him when He went to the grave. And when He came forth from the grave, they were in Him when He came forth from the grave. And as He's seated on the right hand of the Father today, He's making intercession for His little children. And the Spirit of God comes and makes them alive in this time world. The commandment comes in reality, not just on the outside, not just hearing it and looking at it on the outside. See, the Apostle Paul at one time thought he was doing pretty good with the law. Remember? He said when it came to the law, he was blameless. He said to some of them who were bragging on how good they were, he said, if anybody had anything to boast in, I have more. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And if anyone had anything of the flesh to boast in, of course he made us clearly know that he was about to teach us a lesson about that. He wasn't saying he was something. He was saying that all of that was considered so very important, he counted that but dung, that he might understand where his righteousness truly was. And his righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is our righteousness tonight? Is it in us coming to church? Well, it's good you came to church, but I dare say we all came, probably carried some things with us we should have left at home, probably have some things on the bench with us right now that shouldn't be here. Not only that, according to the Bible, and the Apostle Paul said, even when I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Is that not the case with us tonight? And if we had to stand before God tonight and get into heaven based on something we did, would there be any hope for me? Would there be any hope for you? Would there be any hope for anyone? I'll tell you, there's only one that can fit that bill, and that's not any of us. It was the Lord and Savior who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it. He came in the likeness of it, and He in the flesh, He condemned sin in the flesh, that we might have His righteousness. And what a great, and now that tells me there's no, I want to tell you tonight, there's no more condemnation. Wouldn't you like to tell a lot of God's little children who are worried about whether they're going to make it or not, trying to work so hard to make it tonight, trying to live in such a way that they, trying to hold on, trying to help others make it. There are some who believe that they are responsible for folks either getting to heaven by their efforts and through their works. And I want you to know that none of the works of man altogether will add one to that number than for which Jesus died. No, their failure to work will keep one from being in it. Yes, works have a place, but it doesn't have anything to do with God's little children getting home to glory. This, our works don't. His works do, and His works finish the work. It's work. The work is finished. Running around, I'm chasing a rabbit around the patch, but I want you to know tonight what I'm trying to say is His works are finished. And tonight you and I don't have to be worried about that, because there is therefore now, as He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. You see, when the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He didn't just ask the question, he answered the question. And the answer to the question is, I've kept the law, therefore I'm okay. That wasn't the answer to the question. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That means I can't work it. It has to be done for me. And he said this, here's his answer. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll tell you, you and I tonight are here to thank the Lord. We're thanking Him for our eternal salvation. We can thank Him for our timely deliverance. We can thank Him for the blessings that we have in our life, for our homes and our families, our husbands, our wives. We can thank Him for the fellowship we have here in this church. We can thank Him for the meeting we're having here tonight. We can thank Him that I've got an ear to hear this and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it. We can thank Him that it means something to me, because listen, if He hadn't worked a work of grace in you, all that I've said would not mean a thing to you. You wouldn't be interested in it, concerned about it. You'd be still feeling like, well, I think I'm okay. I don't really need Jesus. I'm doing pretty good. There are some people who feel like I'm one with Jesus. I'm just a little Jesus myself. I want you to know there was only one that was the way and the truth and the life. And the Scripture tells us that it is in Him that we have life. It's Him. In Him we move, we live, and we move, and we have our being. And that is spiritually speaking. It's true naturally, but it's also true spiritually. He said this, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now that now, I believe, really refers to because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did. Because of His finished work at Calvary. Why is there no condemnation? I ought to be condemned. And you ought to be condemned. Isn't that true? If I got what I deserve tonight, I fit in the category that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. And the wages of sin is death. And if I got what I have earned and merited, I'd fall under the condemnation. Why is there no condemnation? Why is there no condemnation? Did He say there's no condemnation to everybody? No. He said there's no condemnation to whom? He said there is now no condemnation to them. And who's the them? Them which are in Christ Jesus. The world says, well, then you better get into Christ. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you were chosen in Him a long, long time ago. And there's nothing you can do to get in Him. God didn't make that choice because of something you did or would do. Something He foresaw you doing. He made that choice not because of any good. As He said, Jacob, have I loved, but Esau, have I hated. He said, He looked down and saw those two. And he said, it was no good. Neither one of them having done any good nor evil. God made a sovereign choice. And that's what the Apostle Paul taught. And when God saw you, He loved you. If you love Him tonight, it's because He first loved you. And I'm thankful that God had a love for His people. I'm especially thankful tonight that He loved you. I'm especially thankful tonight that He's worked that love in you so that I can see that you are among the elect. And I'm not able to look in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I can see from the evidences of the life that is in you. I can see from the fruit of the Spirit, the faith and the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the meekness and temperance and all of those fruit of the Spirit. I can see that the Lord has worked a work of grace in your heart. And that is why we can have sweet fellowship here tonight in the Lord's church. He says, for the law of the Spirit, he says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. And all to Him we owe. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's an identifying mark of God's little children. Who is it that can walk not after the flesh? It wouldn't be any of us if it weren't for the grace of God. Did any of us just decide one day, I'm not going to walk after the flesh anymore, I'm just going to walk after the Spirit? Not according to the Bible, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. We read it tonight. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That means the carnal mind, the natural mind, is not just in neutral about the things of God. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. He is contrary to the things of God. He's not just, I can take it or leave it. It is enmity. And it is against God. And for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, those who walk not after the flesh are God's little children that have been born of His Spirit. And those who walk after the Spirit are God's little children that are born of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, he says this over there. And I might try to quote that, but I'll probably miss that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says this. He says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "For what things knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Which means we can't know any of the spiritual things of God until we're born of the Spirit. And you can't teach a man to know the Lord. And the Lord has to do that, and I'm thankful to say to you tonight, He does that for each and every one of His children. Everyone that He foreknew, He predestinated, and everyone that He predestinated, He also calls, and He calls them effectually in the new birth, where He makes those that are dead in trespasses and sins alive. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." He said in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Listen, we were under the condemnation of the law. How in the world could we possibly get out from under that condemnation? How could a holy and a righteous and a just God not pour out His wrath upon us when He said the wages of sin is death? How is it that we don't receive the wrath of God? Well, the answer to that is Jesus and what Jesus has done. The answer is not go to the law and get yourself good enough and you'll get everything straight, because the righteousness does not come by the law. But the answer, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me or save me from the body of this death?" The answer is, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death," which means the Lord came and worked life in you. He said, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." He comes to that dead individual and He speaks life to them. And when He says live, they live. He doesn't ask them. He doesn't invite them. He commands them to live. And that's how one is born again of the Spirit of God. I believe that occurs in the lives of little babies from time to time, when at the Lord's appointed time. He can quicken a little baby like John the Baptist, and it can leap for joy in its mother's womb. It didn't just kick. He didn't just kick. He leaped for joy. I believe it can be in the very last hours of one's life, like a thief hanging on the cross about to leave this world. And here he is cursing the Savior who's dying by him, just like the other thief that was hanging. But then he comes to a place where he sees something the other one doesn't see, and says, here we are. We stand condemned justly. We're dying justly, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he looked to Jesus and said, remember me. O Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Something occurred in the life of that individual. I believe the commandment came. I believe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus came. And when it did, it set him free from the law of sin and death. He was able to see what he could not see before and know what he could not know before. He was brought from death to life. And he was able to see that this one who's dying here is not just dying. He's not dying just like we are, but he's dying for us. And the Lord answered to him, oh, isn't it a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it have been sad if he had said, "Well, I'm sorry, you've gone too far, it's too late. There's not anything I can do for you because you're not going to be able to be baptized, so therefore you can't enter into glory. Or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that." Listen, what he had said, he said, "Remember me when thou comest into that kingdom." And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it wasn't because he called on the Lord, not in order to get life. It's because he had been given life. A work of grace had taken place in his life, and he was able to see what he could not see. He had been, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made him free from the law of sin and death. And then verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do." And here, the reason we don't try to keep the law for our eternal salvation, no law, is because the law can't do it. If I could start following the law right now and keep it the rest of the time, what about all the mess I've made in the past? It doesn't undo what I've already done. Which, and by the way, the Apostle Paul said, I can't do that. If I could do it. The Paul says you can't do it. Yeah, there's a law that wars against you. The old flesh is still there, and you have that contrary. There's that warfare that even when I would do good, I find evil present with me, and I'll never get it correct. So if the law, if for what the law could not do, now get this, the law couldn't do it, not because the law was wrong, anything wrong with the law. It was God's law. It was God's law given to Moses. Was there anything wrong with the law? You can look the law up and down, one side and another. You won't find anything wrong with the law because the Lord gave the law. Then did he give something that failed? No, he gave it for a purpose. And there is a purpose for the law today. I've already mentioned that. What is the purpose of the law? When I go to the law, it shows me what a sinner I am. Listen, I wouldn't know what a sinner I was if the law didn't tell me these are sins and I transgressed them. And I can see from the law, sin becomes exceedingly sinful. And I'm made to see. It is our schoolmaster, Galatians tells us, to bring us to Christ because you learn I can't keep the law good enough to be His. Now, there are people that are trying to do that today. I believe even some of God's children wrapped up in gospel bondage in, well, I don't want to say gospel, but in a bondage that because they do not understand the gospel, they do not understand the truth of it and the depth that they need to, and they're laboring hard to be make their salvation sure when their salvation is already sure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need to rest in His righteousness and stop going about to establish their own. Remember that Pharisee that prayed in the temple and the publican that prayed, the two went up to the temple to pray, and the old Pharisee, and he taught this lesson to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And the old Pharisee prayed, "Oh Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are." And that old publican said, "Oh, God be merciful to me, a sinner." The Pharisee said, "I'm really glad I'm not like that old publican." He would have been so much better off if he'd been like that publican, because he was going to about to establish his own righteousness and he wanted to be acceptable unto God because he was good enough. I hope tonight you're not wanting to be acceptable before God by being good enough, because it doesn't come that way. We will not enjoy the peace and the rest that's found in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ by trying to do something we cannot do. He says, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Nothing wrong with the law, but our flesh was weak. I just can't keep it. The law is good. I can't keep it. And he says, and it was weak through the flesh. How did it get accomplished then? God sending His own Son. Oh, God didn't just send anybody. He sent His own Son. The Son of God, who is verily God, took upon Himself a body of flesh. That's what He says here. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't take on a body of sin because there was no sin in His body. But He looked like a man. I was reading about the little woman at the well and the Lord coming to the woman at the well. It's amazing to me to think about the Lord walking up there to Jacob's well and sitting down and resting because He was tired. The God who made the heavens and the earth, who spoke this world into existence, He took upon Himself a body of flesh and was tired and weary and sat down at the well, but showing us that He was a man. He took upon Himself a body of flesh. He wasn't just a man. He was a perfect man, but He was in all points like unto us, and yet there was no sin in Him. And he knows when you call on Him and say, "I'm tired, like Brother Mike's tired." The Lord knows what it is to be tired. He knows it in the perfect sense, as in that He's God and knows all things. but he also knows it as man and that he's experienced that. What a great high priest we have, that we can come to him in our prayers, and knowing when we feel someone has mistreated us, he knows what it feels like to be mistreated. When we have pain, he knows what it's like to have pain. When we're suffering, he knows what it's like to have suffering. When your friends turn and go the other way, he knows what it's like to be forsaken. Listen, I'll tell you, he suffered in all points and in every way that he might be a great high priest. He became in perfection that which the Lord sent him to be. He was already perfect, but he learned those things, and he learned them in the sense he experienced them as man. God Emmanuel became flesh, and that's what he's saying here. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? Because the law had to be kept, and no one was keeping and could and would keep the law. Jesus came and kept the law to a jot and to a tittle, which basically says he crossed every T and dotted every I. He didn't miss it in one spot, one place. And then as he kept that law, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When did Jesus do that? He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that. And he did everything was necessary to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So tonight I can say to you as God's little children, words of comfort, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, there's no you don't have to fear death. There's no condemnation. You don't have to fear today about as you walk in this world that the judgments of God will be poured out upon you because you're walking by the grace of Almighty God and the mercy of Almighty God. Though we deserve His wrath, He's not dealt with us according to that which we deserve, but he's dealt with according to his grace. And he says what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We talked about this before. Not only did he take our condemnation away, he gave us his righteousness. He imputed his righteousness unto us. Jesus said to the Lord, the Father said to Jesus, he said, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I believe through the blood of Jesus tonight, as he sees this little congregation of believers here worshiping the Lord and trusting in the Lord, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done, he looks upon us tonight and he says, My children, who I am well pleased. Why would he be well pleased with us? Why would he be well pleased with our singing? He seeketh such to worship him, who worship him in spirit and in truth. How could God be pleased with our singing? How could God be pleased with our efforts to praise him and honor him? It's by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the sin debt and removed that from us, and he's clothed us with his righteousness. He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we as God's children do have a flesh to contend with, don't we? And we do mind the things of the flesh sometimes after that. But thanks be to God, that's not all we are. We have the things of the Spirit. We're like the Apostle Paul said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, even though I've got that warfare that's going on in my life." He says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." You've been born of the Spirit, you're of the Spirit. And he says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If one is not born of the Spirit, he doesn't belong to him. Now he could be a little child of God who does belong to him that hasn't been regenerated yet. And in a sense, he hasn't been awakened to who he is. But Now that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And this old body is dying, isn't it? Our body, we've got an appointment coming, and our body is dying. And this old body, that's the shape that it's in. And we see it evident every day we get up. And something that was working yesterday doesn't work today. Something that was okay yesterday is hurting today. We see the result of sin and the result of what's taking place and of what he says here. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but there is a life that's in you that's renewed every day. That the soul is alive. That soul is living. And when you die, to be absent from the body dies, but we're not going to die all over. The soul and the spirit go immediately into the very presence of the Lord at the moment of death, even though the body goes to the grave. But then the body also, he bought and paid for that, so he's coming again to get that. And he says that in the next verse. He says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That tells us of the fullness of what the Lord has done for us. He will have us body, soul, and spirit by and through his grace. And then verse 12, and time's gone, so we'll close with that. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We're not debtors to live after the flesh. We're debtors to the Lord only. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And may the Lord bless us the best we can to live in a way to honor and praise and glorify him. And may we do it. And the only way that we'll ever be able to do it is by and through his grace. So we look for that, plead for the grace, Lord, that we give us grace. Give us, as Brother Terry said, give me faith. Give me grace. Give me what I stand in need of each and every day. And as we look to him, he will give to us those things that we stand in need of. He's promised to do that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And we're very, very thankful to be able to declare that tonight. And you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Two eighty-three.